Good afternoon. I want to thank everybody for being here today, especially on such short notice. It's good to see a lot of familiar faces. We're here today to confirm the news you received this morning that I've decided to make this season my last as a NASCAR Cup driver. The response just in the last 6 hours from teammates, colleagues, and friends, and fans has been incredibly overwhelming. So before I go any further, I just want to thank everybody for making me feel pretty incredible today. You're wondering why I reached this decision. It's really simple. I just wanted the opportunity to go out on my own terms. I wanted to honor my commitment to Rick, to my sponsors, to my team, and to the fans. I'll admit that having influence over my exit only became meaningful when it started to seem most unlikely. As you know, I missed a few races last year, and during that time, I had to face the realization that my driving career may have already ended without me as so much getting a vote at the table. Of course, in life, we're not promised a vote, and that's especially true in racing. But during my rehab, I was given something else that I wasn't accustomed to, and that was time. Time to understand what's important to me. Time to realize the incredible support system I have in my wife, my team, and my doctors, and time to work like hell to wrestle back some semblance of say-so in this whole matter. And so that became my motivation, the opportunity to stand here at this podium to announce my choice rather than some fate that was decided for me. In that regard, the race car wasn't my goal. It was merely the vehicle that got me here today. Now, planning my exit this way gives me the chance to publicly thank those who made the last 18 years possible. First and foremost, Rick Hendrick. Without a shadow of a doubt, I think the toughest thing about this decision was having to tell you. I just didn't want to disappoint you. You mean so much to me. And so on March 29th, I drove over and had the conversation with him, and his response, he told me he loved me. Becoming a bigger part of your life has changed mine forever. You gave me guidance and direction that will reward me for as long as I live. My wife, Amy, most of you have been around long enough to know what I was like before I met Amy. Not a day goes by that someone doesn't remind me of the incredible positive impact she's had on me. Through thick and thin, Amy's support and encouragement has been constant. The rehab that I spoke of earlier, she went through it too. The only difference is she didn't have to, but she did. There were no days off. There were no hours off. There were no minutes off. There was just Amy and me. Without her help in those days of recovery, I wouldn't have been able to return to the track for this season. The second most difficult thing about this decision was telling my brothers, Greg Ives and the guys on my 88 team. It's a privilege to race with this group. Greg is one of the most talented, yet humble guys in the garage. We are very close, and I appreciate the sacrifices that he and his family have made for the good of our team. From my road crew to the pit crew to all the people in the 4888 shop, I'm a better driver and a better person from my time with you guys. You've helped me mature and grow well beyond the racetrack. We love to work together, and I look forward to every single trip we have left on the schedule this season. Kelly Earnhardt Miller, I think if I were to sum up Kelly's life in one word, it'd be sacrifice. Y'all know the stories, and they're all true. She dropped out of one school to enroll in military school, where I was, because she was worried about me. She came to work for me, even though it meant she'd have to take a massive pay cut, but she knew that I needed her. She didn't think twice about it. She made it her life mission to have my back. I'm telling you today, Kelly, how much I appreciate that. Brenda Jackson, my mother, she loves me through my good races and my bad races, but what makes her uniquely my own is she definitely is going to tell me when it was a bad race. Everybody deserves to have someone in their life that you never have to wonder, and with my mother, I never have to wonder. To my father, Dale Earnhardt, I would not have been a race car driver If it not for him, he believed in me. It might have taken a little encouragement from Tony Urie Sr., but eventually Dad came around. I appreciate my father, everything he put into my career, and all the guys on the old 80 AC Delco team who gave me a shot. To all the team members and coworkers that I've worked with, I've only driven for two teams in my career. From DEI to Hendrick Motorsports, I was blessed to work with the most talented group of mechanics, body men, chassis builders, engine builders, and so on. As I matured personally, the bonds I formulated with my team became so very important to me. They weren't just coworkers, they were friends. We cared for each other. We could fight like brothers, which me and Tony Jr. so often did. But I needed them, and I so badly wanted them to need me. I miss that camaraderie, and I'll miss it for the rest of my life, but the friendships that I've made will live beyond the time that was spent in the garage together. To my fans, one thing that has made this career the incredible ride that it's been is Junior Nation. The fan support that I received straight out of the gate was in large part because of my famous last name. But throughout the ups and downs, it occurred to me that the fans that stuck it out and the new ones that joined us, they were there because of the person I was and not who they wanted me to be. By the end of my career, thanks in large part to social media, I've really gained a new appreciation for their dedication, their enthusiasm when we succeed, and their encouragement when we fall short of our goals. I don't think that anything in my professional career has meant more to me than the treatment that I've received from track to track by the fans that so dearly love our sport. To our sponsors, this wouldn't be an official NASCAR event unless we fired off some sponsor appreciation. So in the beginning of my Cup career, there was Budweiser. They sent me on a trajectory that was unprecedented. Steve Uihlein, Tony Ponturo, and their team of people, wherever you are today, thank you so much for taking that big leap of faith with me. I want to recognize PepsiCo and National Guard for their role in my move to Hendrick Motorsports. They were the ones that got the 88 program off the ground, and to this day I continue to enjoy a partnership with Pepsi and Mountain Dew. Charlie Shaver, Jim Muse, and William Sturgill, with Exalta, you guys have accepted me as your own. You're building an incredible legacy here at Hendrick Motorsports. You're fully invested into the 88 team. And you've helped me take our Dirty Mo Media from a vision to reality. For all those things, I'm very appreciative. Steve Rasmussen, Terrence Williams, and Jim McCoy, all the folks at Nationwide, our partnership dates back a really long time. Maybe you guys have heard it, but the Earnhardt family has been with Nationwide for more than 30 years. But what I'm proud of more is that we've accomplished a lot in the last 10. I hope you guys are as proud as I am. And by the way, Jim, I know you're here in the room. I'm just going to say what everyone else here in the room is thinking. Your brilliant use of the retired Peyton Manning is to be commended, if not replicated. To Jim Campbell and Terry Dolan, it's an honor to carry that Chevrolet bow tie on my cars. And I don't just mean that on the racetrack. I'm Chevrolet for life. I've been fortunate enough to have many other partners invest in my career, and I look forward to talking to them over the next several months, and I hope that you feel I did a great job for you, and I want you to know that our work's not finished. I also want to thank NASCAR for giving me and a whole lot of other fortunate people a place to race. I've never taken that for granted. Thanks to the France family for your support, and thank you to Mike Hilton, who has given me tons of personal advice. He's always shot me straight, and he's been a tremendous role model for me. The sport is in a great place with incredible, exciting young talent emerging as we speak. I look forward to seeing what the future and current stars in the sport can accomplish in the years to come. In closing, I am eager to explore new opportunities. I don't see myself really detaching from NASCAR. My intention is still to be involved in the sport on some level. In fact, I still have two Xfinity races to run for Junior Motorsports in 2018. So even after this season is over, you've not seen the last of me on the racetrack. But more than that, I want to be a part of the future of this sport for many, many years to come. Thank you very much.
genuine. The one word I always think about when I think of Dale Jr., and I think we saw it there. We're going to take questions from folks here in the audience. There are a couple of folks that have microphones. Please raise your hand. You will be acknowledged. Make sure you have the microphone. We're being covered live by a number of media. But before we do that, Mr. H, wanted to first give you an opportunity to reflect on, over the past not quite a month since that conversation, your thoughts today.
Well, you know, first of all, I want to make it clear that I wasn't the one that said we had to wear a suit. Because the first time we went somewhere, I had to get you to put your shirt tail in. Today, you made me wear the suit.
That's right. Yeah, a lot of things have changed.
Well, first of all, Dale, Kelly, and his family, they're more to me than just a race car driver. He's like a son, and we've had, I don't know, for many, many years, a tremendous relationship. And I really appreciate what we've been able to do together. And I appreciate the kind of guy you are and what you've done for the sport, for NASCAR, for me personally, our company, the sponsors, and everyone. And to the person that I've talked to in the last few days, sponsors, all of our partners, the first thing they've said, we want what Dale wants. We want what's best for Dale. And you have delivered and given more than anybody I know. And I'm fortunate today because you and I've got a lot left to do. Dale wants to help me here at Motorsports, at JRM, bringing the young drivers along. And we're in the automobile business together. So I feel like I'm excited about the next chapter. And you deserve everything, all the awards, and all of the, accolades. There'll never be another Dale Earnhardt Jr. You're the one, but I'm just super excited and very appreciative of what you've done, for what you meant to me personally, and what you've done for our company, but most of all, what you mean in my life.
Well, we'll take questions now from the audience. We'll start over here with Bob, and then Jim behind him, and then we'll go over here to Doug, and then we'll get to as many questions as we can.
Bob Hocker, ESPN, for Dale. Retirement decisions often come down to health, passion, or ability. Do you feel any of those are the primary reasons for this decision?
I don't think that one of them stands out above the other. I had a lot to think about over the last several months. And I was not sure that I would have the opportunity to compete. This season has been a blessing to me. It's been a gift to be at the racetrack, to run every lap. I don't remember myself ever being so excited for practice. On Friday and Saturday, getting up at 8:30 in the morning. Not 18 months ago, I was on Twitter complaining about 8:30 practices, and I can't wait to get to them now. I just want to have, I wanted to be able to make that decision myself on retiring and not really have it made for me. But I feel healthy. I'm having a really good time driving the cars and enjoying that with my team. And we spoke this morning, and that was the real message, really, was that we feel competitive. We feel like we can go out there and do well. We've had some odd luck, but when the luck's been there, the results have been there and the speed's been there in the car. So I'm excited about the races that I have left. And again, it's like the practices in the mornings that I get so excited for. We complain about the season and how long it is. Well, this one here can drag on for a while if it's all right.
Okay. Jim, and then we'll go over here to Doug, and then we'll come to Claire.
Jim Utter, Motorsport.com. Dale, when you sat down with a few of us back at Speed Weeks, you said that you had not that you were going to take the first couple months of the season before you decided whether you would sign a contract extension. You said earlier that you first spoke to Rick about it on March 29th, so that's probably about a month's worth of time. Were you quick, relatively quick, into deciding that you were going to make this decision into the new year?
I made it just shortly before I talked to Rick and let him know my decision. So it was, obviously, I think every driver, you know, thinks about retirement and how they want that, you know, what they think that looks like for them as they get to a certain age. But I wasn't, I wasn't really thinking about that too much over until the last couple of years. And once I started to realize how delicate things are and how quickly that can be made for you, it's something I had to start thinking about quite seriously. But I as soon as I got my mind made up, I got in touch with Rick and told him that I had made my decision and that we should sit down and discuss.
Okay, Doug.
Doug Rice, Performance Racing Network. Dale, you're sitting beside one of the most successful car owners in the history of motorsports. Should we be shocked somewhere down the line if you and Kelly decide to evolve Junior Motorsports into a cup-level team? Is that part of your scenario?
Kelly's shaking her head no over here, so I'm going to have to go with that. I'll be honest with you. You know, I've often admired the work that it takes and the commitment that it takes, having been close to my family's business and obviously very close to Rick. I get to see just how much effort it takes that goes into it. Not only does Rick have to manage all of his automotive industry and empire, but this is a full-time job on itself. I tell him all the time that he's he's old enough to start relaxing a little bit, but he won't listen. So he loves to win. He'd rather be in Victor Lane than fishing off the back of his boat, just barely. But that's how he is. And I really enjoy being in the Xfinity Series. There's a reward that I get of helping people achieve their goals and get to the next level. Luckily, with our relationship with Rick, we've been able to accelerate that and make some great things happen for a lot of people, whether it be drivers, crew chiefs, aspiring crew chiefs. That's really so rewarding to me. That's even greater than the wins, is to see somebody get a job somewhere on a cup level, get an opportunity to step up. I feel like that we're doing it right if we're giving people that platform, that springboard. I don't know if you can replicate that anywhere else. I really enjoy that.
We'll do Claire and Tom, back to Lewis and Jeff.
Claire Belang, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. I wonder if part of this takes pressure off you, that you knew this decision was coming, and a lot of people are debating publicly, you know, was this really hard on him? Was he doing it because he felt the pressure to stay or to leave? Is there any part of it is, you know, lets the future open up for you that you feel like the pressure's off? And then you sitting there in a suit, I mean, you are a businessman. You own Risky River. You own Junior Motorsports. Would you like to, you know, be on the business side of things more, and do you see that for your future?
Well, I definitely, my heart loves being in the car. You know, I love driving, and I enjoy it as much as I ever have. There's a lot about it that I really love and I love to do. And I think you guys see that when you're at the track. We all know, you know, there's no fooling. But it's not, I don't know that it's been, it's really emotional, you know. I just don't like letting people down and worry about, you know, disappointing my boss and my friend and my crew. These guys, we all depend on each other to be there every day, you know, and to come in and say, I'm not going to be here one day is very difficult, because we all kind of wish we could stay together forever, you know. But, you know, I'm still going to be here and want to be an influence and a part of their success, however that may be. And I do have ambition to work, you know. I'm not going to quit working. there's a feeling of being an asset to something. I don't have to be the guy holding the trophy, but being a part of that success, I really enjoy. I really enjoy making people happy, and doing stuff as a team. And I think I can replicate that in the next chapter of my life. I'm certainly excited about all the things that we've had going on with the dealerships and Whiskey River. We're growing the Whiskey River business in the airport locations, and the dealership is, I think, one of the best dealerships that Rick's ever opened, to be honest. So,
probably is. It's best.
First class place.
Did you tell them that they need a car to call you?
It's in Jacksonville. If you want to go down, there's the only Chevy store in town. Single port market.
It's in Tallahassee.
I'm sorry, Tallahassee. Okay. I'm a little spun out up here, sorry. But I'm really excited about all those opportunities and being a bigger part of that. If they're going to succeed, I'm definitely going to have to be involved and be a part of that. So, you know, that's I've made 2 or 3 trips a year down to the dealership, and we certainly have been a big part of the Whiskey River brand since we opened it. And I can be more involved in that stuff, but it's not going to succeed without my involvement. I know that, so I got to be dedicated to it.
We'll go Tom, Lewis, Jeff. We'll get to everybody. Tom.
Mike Embry, USA Today. Dale, this season hasn't started probably like you would like it to have started. If you had a win or two by now, would that have delayed this decision, you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty hypothetical. I don't know. You know, I think that, I do love winning races, but it isn't the priority as far as, it's not the one thing that I enjoy the most. The one thing that I enjoy the most about racing is my relationships with my team. My friendships with those guys and working with them. Now, you know, when it goes right, we win races, we celebrate together, and that's awesome. But the friendships are much more important to me. It's winning races is not that much fun when you don't enjoy who you're doing it with. No success is really as sweet when the people you're doing it with isn't someone you connect to or have a relationship with. So. And I think I got much better at that at the end of my career. When I was young, I was really good at running everybody out of the shop with my mouth. And now I think I'm better at getting everybody together and rallying everybody and getting everybody excited about each thing we're doing. And so I certainly learned a lot and matured. And it's been through those relationships and working with my team, my crew chiefs, that I've grown and became, you know, the wins were really important, and still are, in a selfish way. But the friendships and the relationships that you make are things that'll last forever.
Okay, Lewis, apologies, Mike. If I can't see anybody else, I apologize, Lewis. And then we'll go with Jeff, Dustin, and Jenna.
Lewis Frank of Reuters. When you look at the big picture, the Daytona wins, the Cup wins, Xfinity wins. One day, though, people are going to remember that involuntarily you raised awareness of concussion treatment, and voluntarily you're doing some major things. I mean, a lot of people are going to be very healthy, and families are going to be together. I mean, how does that make you feel?
Yeah, well, I don't really. It makes you feel great. I mean, anytime you get a letter in the mail, or you run into somebody at the racetrack or wherever you're at, and they, you know, I've even had guys within our own organization come up to me and tell me how that's affected them or helped them understand part of it or what to do or gotten them their own help. One of the greatest things about that whole experience was when I went up there to Pittsburgh and got the help from Mickey and those guys, I had some people come out of the woods wondering, where do I get this help? And then... to hear their success stories and hear them go up there, get the help they've been looking for all these years. It's been a tremendous experience for me. So I enjoy you know, helping people get in front of the right people. And I think this man here has made a, you know, big impact on my life and set that example for me. One of the first things I learned about Rick when I first came to drive here was some of the employees, family members were ill. Him having gone through his illness that he went through, he knows the value of being in front of the right people at the right time and how critical that is. And he would put people on airplanes and fly them wherever they needed to be in front of the right people. And he's just, and you know, you would hear these stories kind of way under the radar. Nobody was preaching it. You know, he wasn't talking about it. And, you know, so the person that I'm proud of, that I am today, is, you know, has a lot to do with being here, being around Rick and being with this organization. And so I love to help people. And I think that just, you know, all that's rubbed off on me, you know, and just being in this environment's made me better. And so that's, but it's awesome to have that opportunity, to be able to get people in the right, in front of the right doctors and get them the right help.
Jeff, Dustin, Jenna.
Jeff Gluck from jeffgluck.com, Dale. You typically wear your heart on your sleeve, but I'm having a hard time putting my finger on exactly how you're feeling today. You seem solemn, but you said you're spun out up there. Is this a sad day for you? Are you relieved? What is your emotions today?
Yeah, there are a lot. Very bittersweet. You know, I seem like I've told you guys this so many times, and so I hate to kind of rehash it over and over, but when my dad was doing so well, and there were a couple guys coming into the sport that were sons, and it was difficult for them to replicate their dad's success. And I just saw, even at an early age before I was a driver, that growing up in that man's shadow was going to be a real hard challenge. But I wanted to race, but I knew racing would put me in that shadow. So I knew the odds of me really having any talent at all and being able to do it were thin. They are for anyone, you know. So at a very young age, all I wanted to do was be able to make a living driving cars. I didn't set goals like, God, I didn't dream of winning championships or Daytona 500s or working with one of the best owners in business, driving for one of the best organizations. I just wanted to do it. I just wanted to be able to do it. I was afraid of not being able to do it. You know, so I guess what I'm saying is I've accomplished way more than I ever dreamed. Way more than I ever thought I'd accomplish. So I'm good. You know, I'm good on that front. I'm so blessed and fortunate on as far as what I was able to achieve. But I'm very sad because I know that it's definitely disappointing for a lot of people to wake up to that news this morning. I know we got a lot of fans that are very sad, for lack of a better way to describe it. So I feel that emotion as well, that what I've announced today has had that effect on a lot of people. But with that said, there's been I never assume what kind of reaction I'm going to get from anything, but it's been really positive. And that's meant a lot to me. There's been some tears. I think the hardest part, like I said, was telling Rick. I mean, me and him sit in the office and let it all hang out. And we said a lot of things to each other that we've both been wanting to say for a long time. You just never really sit down and get the chance to do it or give yourself time to do it. Everybody's so busy. So it's been a lot of emotion. At the same time, this isn't the end of the road. I mean, we got the rest of this year. I'm going to be in Richmond this weekend with my foot on the floor, going down the front straightaway, and this press conference will be a distant memory. You know, so there's a lot of racing left that I'm excited about. So I'm going to be on a little bit of a roller coaster this week, but I've I'm expecting it to be business as usual in a few days.
We'll do Dustin again, Jenna, Chris, and we'll keep going back and forth. Dustin and Jenna.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Dale, you've almost made this sound like that this was a simple decision. You said it, you wanted to go out on your terms. But can you explain what you went through in the process of coming to this point, how you determined it? You just talked about tears. How often did you cry? Was it just, was it in Rick's office? Was it with Amy? How did it come to this point for you?
Well, it's hard to really spell that out. I, you know, going through what we went through last year was a challenge. I felt, you know, I was pretty sick at one point. Didn't think that I was going to get to race, and none of us were very confident that we were going to get to race again. I could tell that that was a very difficult thing for Rick, and I knew it was not a very good situation for my team to be in. Even though they did a great job with their substitutes and finished out the season really, really strong, it was just a really, it was really hard to watch all that happen, knowing that that I had an effect on all that and felt a little bit responsible for it, but. They picked up and got through it. They've done it before. This isn't uncharted territory for Rick at all. But you know, and I don't think I we went going through that process. There was just a lot of ups and downs, and I knew when I got healthy that I'd want to get back in the car. And once I started feeling like, you know, I got to race again, can I, you know, was talking to my docs, what do you think? I really kind of want to do this. It became about going to Rick and saying, I really want to honor my contract. And, I want to come back for me to know that I did it and got healthy again. I want to make this decision on my own and not have it made for me. And so it's just a really long period of time and a lot of emotion in that period. You know, you think you're out of the car, you're just crying at that point. You get healthy, you're excited. I'm excited to be back in the car now and happy. You know, it's a bit of sadness to make the decision to retire, but you know, it's just a lot of stuff's happened over the last 10 months. It's really, we'd have to sit here for a few days to go over it. To spell it all out, but for me personally, I'm at peace with the decision. I'm very comfortable with it. You know, more concerned with the fallout of it, and you know, hoping that the transition for the team, the company, and everything is a good one, and they've got a lot of things to get excited about in their future, and you know, just want the best for Rick. So I want to be a part of helping that process as we move along.
Jenna, Chris, and then Brian.
Jenna Fryer, AP. Dale, the TV interview you did yesterday pretty much captured the essence of who you are as a racer. And there was a lot of jokes on the internet if that was loud talking Dale or if that was broken oil system Dale, but it really captured who you are and why fans love you. And I thought to myself in that moment, I said, oh, NASCAR is so screwed when Dale retires. I literally like looked at Gluck and said that. So for both you and Rick, you know, Tony's gone and Jeff's gone and now Dale's gone. What and who is there to be excited about? What does this sport need? Because this is three huge names, 3 years in a row.
Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, just to name two of probably a dozen guys that I'm excited about. And I think that's all I read about on Twitter yesterday was how awesome the race was and how much fun it is to watch, you know, Larson. And it is true. He's a real talent. And all those guys have great attitudes, great personalities. I know them well enough to be excited about how fans are going to know them in the future. I feel like that these are the guys that they're the cream of the crop, and maybe I'm the only one that sees it in this room, but I really have a lot of confidence in the personalities that we have. These guys, you know, there's in my history of being around the sport, there's kind of always been these little gaps in between everything that cycles, whether it's fashion or drivers or cars or whatever. It never really is a seamless transition from one to the next. And I think that, you know, these guys that are coming in, they're really sharp and smart about how to utilize social media, how to engage with fans. You see the stuff that Blaney and Bubba do, and they're not afraid to really show their personalities. That's completely different than any of us older guys. We've never been like that, you know. And so this is a new batch of guys that are going to do things in a new way. They're going to bring a lot of new color and excitement and energy to the sport. And you know, we just got to get them in front of the fans, let the fans get to know them, and I think the rest will take care of itself. But I'm thrilled. I mean, we definitely have tons of talent. There's no question. But I love the people they are. Larson is as cool as a cucumber, easy to talk to, marketable. I mean, he's you know, and Chase is the same way. Chase is so easy to and approachable, you know. That's what you got to be. And these guys are effortless at it. So once they start to, you know, pick it up and understand, like, the power of what they have at their fingertips, the sky's the limit for NASCAR. I'm super excited about the future.
Mr. H, your perspective on that. You've had a bit of an eye for talent over the years.
Yeah, you know, I agree 100% with what Dale said. I don't know what I can add, really. I think he's exactly right. I've never seen so much young talent. And I can remember when the question was, all of our drivers are in their 40s, are going to be, what are we going to do when they retire? Well, I think we got the answer. They're here, they're young, they're aggressive, they're fun. The Bristol race is one of the best races I've ever seen. It's close. Nobody got in each other. I mean, I didn't see any of it. And I just think I give Dale a tremendous amount of credit for the eye for talent. He's been a huge, when I really want to know the facts, I'll sit down with Dale, and he'll give me the unfiltered, no bias, hey, this guy's good for this, this guy's great at that. And I think the difference is going to be Tony's in the pits, Jeff's on TV, Dale's got a huge commitment with four teams, going to help the team he's just got out of the car with, so he's going to be visible. He's not walking away. So I think the sport has got a lot to be excited about, and I think the fans, I mean, let's face it, Dale is unique, and you can't replace Dale. I mean, he's got just so many just wonderful traits from his personality, the way he cares about people, cares about everything he does, and that's why so many people are attached to him. But his commitment is to see the sport grow, and mine and everybody, every other owner and every other driver. And I think we're in a great position right now. The competition is equal, all the talent. I'm excited about the second chapter in his life, because we're going to do a lot of it together. But he also is going to still be in and around and visible in the sport and help tap these young guys on the shoulder and really tutor them and tell them, you know, what they're doing wrong, what they could do better, how to, because he's been through all those cycles of life. No one in the garage could be any better than Dale Earnhardt to mentor these guys, because he's been through all the different stages, and they, every one of them, look up to him. So, you know, I think we're in a good place. I'm excited about the future, and looking forward to, again, him helping me in a lot of different areas working together. So it's going to be neat.
Chris, Brian, and Jerry, and then back to Steve.
Chris Knight, CatchFence.com. Dale, if the Cup season was shorter by 6 to 10 races, will we still be sitting here today?
I don't know. You know, I mean, it's another hypothetical question. I don't think that's ever going to be a reality. I think that the train's running down the track, and it's just getting up steam, and there's no way to slow it down. I don't think. Some of the drivers might want to cut a few races off the schedule, but I don't ever see that happen. I kind of want this season to drag just a little, just so we make sure we get everything we can out of it. I don't know any different, you know, than what I've been doing, and. You know, we get out of the car for, you know, a couple months, month of December and January. And we talk about, you know, man, that's a long season. But by the time we're done with Vegas, all of us are ready to drive something. Any of them drivers, even though they're glad to be off, would love to strap in one and just go race somewhere. And it don't last long for that all, you know, that, you know, the feeling that you need some time off, it doesn't last very long. You kind of, you're ready to get back at it. And I think it's, you know, it's part of the competition and the competitor inside you, but it's also because we're all a family. Everybody, you know, not just the teams, but you see all the same people in the garage, the media folks, and it's just this big traveling circus, you know, we're all part of it, and you get used to that every week. And man, when it's gone for 4 to 8 weeks, it's you don't know what to do with yourself. So, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I look at the Xfinity schedule, get a little jealous sometimes, but I don't think that has anything to do with my decision.
Brian, Jerry, and then Steve.
Brian Nelson, Motor Racing Network. Dale, Mr. H has alluded to the second chapter a couple of times, saying there's a lot left for you to do together. I kind of gather that most of that's going to be focused around driver development. So with all of the factors that go into that, from handling the media to the grueling schedules to getting behind the wheel and actually, you know, winning, what about who you are will make you effective at bringing those guys along?
You know, I've worked with all the guys that we've had over at Junior Motorsports, and, you know, you just kind of step in there whenever you think that there's a time and a place. So a lot of guys learn from their own mistakes, and if you can just kind of watch them from a very short distance, especially when you're the owner of a car, you keep a very short distance, but you watch them make these mistakes, and you see them learn from them. And if they don't quite learn from it, you step in there and you say, this is what happened there, and this is why that happened. And if you don't understand what went wrong there, you're doomed to make that mistake again. And that might be how he communicates, or how what he does on the racetrack could be something he's doing off the racetrack. His interaction with the sponsor, he just handle it really at a case-by-case basis, and every guy accepts that criticism a little differently, so you sort of, the delivery is really important, you know. Some guys want you to come marching in, banging your fist on a table. Other guys want you to put your arm around them and play some basketball and talk it out. But I enjoy the race team that we have at Junior Motorsports, and the fact that we have graduated so many people. And that's something that I look forward to over the next several years, is to continue to be a breeding ground for talented, you know, men and women that are mechanics and crew chiefs and drivers. And our connection to HMS is critical to us having success to be able to do that. But we've worked really hard to where we're both assets for each other. You know, the relationship's got to work both ways, and we work very hard to make it where it benefits Hendrick Motorsports as well and makes them better on Sunday. So, and we intend to keep that going.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net, PRN. Dale, you made this decision nearly a month ago. How have you waffled back and forth? Has there been an internal struggle for you since doing that? And Mr. Hendrick, have you tried to convince him to change his mind?
It's not been I've never woke up since I talked to Rick and had a change of heart. It just, I think I wouldn't do that to Rick for one. I wouldn't have went, wasn't going to him until I was 100% certain that this was what I wanted to do. So, and he knows me well enough. So, yeah, when I made my decision, it's been easy to stick to it.
Steve, Caitlin, then Alan.
Dale, Steve Post, Motor Racing Network. We've seen a lot of drivers retire and maybe go try something that they've wanted to do. We saw Brian Vickers go run Le Mans. We've seen sports car racing. We've seen sprint cars. You have a lot of passion for late model stocks. You have the two Xfinity Series races next year. Do you see yourself doing anything else? Maybe going to Martinsville and trying to win a clock in the late model or something like that? Or are you done with those two or wherever that may lead you?
I'm definitely, I think it. I'm open to being a driver over at Junior Motorsports when it works and benefits the company. Certainly, that's why I've done that over the last several years. It's a critical piece of our partnerships in many instances over there. So we're definitely going to leave the book open to continue to do that. And open to do that, depending upon the package as it comes across the table. Otherwise, I told Amy I might slip off and run a 40 lapper at Hickory one night. So if I'm missing on a Saturday night, she'll know where I'm at. But other than that, I don't have any plans.
Caitlin, then Alan, then up front over here.
Caitlin Vinci, Fox Sports. Dale, when you reflect back on your career from the race wins to the time with your guys and your team, what have you enjoyed the most? And we still have quite a bit of racing left to go in the season, so what would be a satisfying, successful final season for you?
Well, I just say right now, winning races. We feel, very confident that that's not out of the question. Me and Greg's had more communication this year than ever. We started this off season sort of admitting to each other that we both could put more into this relationship, and for us to be successful or more successful, we both kind of got to dig in, and we've been communicating weekly about what we saw we liked and didn't like. We're utilizing that communication to keep motivating our guys when the chips are down and we have results like we did this past weekend. But as positive as me and Greg are, that kind of trickles down the rest of the team, and those guys are fired up. And especially after today and just talking to them this morning, we have a lot of urgency to go out there and try to make some things happen this year, which makes me feel good, to get some wins. Obviously, if we win a few races, we make the chase and we get a chance to run for the championship. So all that stuff one thing leads to another. And what do I look back and what am I most proud of? Coming out of the gate and winning them two Xfinity championships was blew me away. I never, I'd ran 159 late model races and only won four. I didn't think I was going to get a job. I thought my, actually, in 97, Dad came up to me and Kelly and said, your late model funds have dried up. And I ran about seven late model races that year and didn't have anything else going on. I was struggling really to figure out what my next step was. I called up James Finch and begged him to let me drive his car, and he turned me down. I still give him crap about that today. But it was, believe it or not, it's hard. I know you guys, a lot of you guys weren't around, or some of you were, but there was a point around 96, 97 where it just about didn't happen. So going in there and winning those two championships and winning those a little more than a dozen races in a couple years was incredible. You know, I was just shocked at everything we did every week. And to be doing it with Tony Jr. and Tony Sr., my family, Uncle Danny, to be doing it with my dad's family team was, you know, just so fun. And then one of the other things was is coming back from our injury in 2012 and winning a Daytona 500 with Rick. We won, you know, we swept the Pocono races, which was really cool. But winning a Daytona 500, you know, I always kind of wanted to leave some kind of mark here. Jimmy Johnson's got them all over the place. He's marking up this joint left and right. Great teammate. But, yeah, I wanted to leave something, some kind of mark that somebody would know I was here. And when we won that Daytona 500, that made me feel good about, you know, my impression on the company. And it's always fun to win with Rick because, like I said, that's what he loves the most.
Alan, and then over here, and then back to Chuck.
Alan Cavana, Fox Sports. Whether it's fair or not, a lot of people do associate the health of the sport with Dale Jr. and what he's doing and how he's doing. Did any of that weigh on you in making this decision?
No, I can't. You know, I just have to make the decision that I'm happy with. And you know, we certainly want to. You know, it's a tough thing to have to tell people, and it certainly was challenging. You know, expressing to my family and very close friends what my decision was. But I have to make the one that I want to make, and the one that I, you know, that I'm comfortable with living with. So that's what I did.
Here and then Chuck, and here in the middle.
Dale McFadden with NBC Sports is for Rick. You've known for a month now that about Dale's decision. Have any plans been set in motion about what will be done with the number 88 come next Speed Weeks in Daytona?
No, not. We've got a lot of people to consider, I mean, partners, like our sponsors, and we've just been talking to them. And, you know, priority one is to get, you know, everything prepared, get the day over with, and then we'll take time to decide what we do there.
Chuck.
Chuck Howard, Fox 46. Dale, can you talk a little bit about your relationship with Kelly and knowing you've got her by your side? How important knowing that you're working with her side by side made this decision easier looking towards the future?
I got to give not just Kelly a lot of credit, but my whole team, everybody at Junior Motorsports, Rick and Jesse and his whole group for helping make this decision a lot easier. Obviously, my wife Amy has been, you know, she's present every minute of the whole deal. So there's been a lot of folks that have been part of this discussion over the last month. And, you know, Kelly is certainly, like I say, she's sacrificed so much to help me keep my business affairs in order and you know, running, not only being my general manager, but handling Junior Motorsports, our licensing arm and marketing arm and so many things. She's been super supportive. Mom was great. I thought Mom would be so upset, but she was a real trooper. My Uncle Danny, he was probably the one in the family that was the most upset with me. He just loves watching us race so much. But anyways, it's been a big group of guys. Mike Davis is a big part of it. So Tyler Overstreet and everybody involved. It's been a group effort to organize this and you know, letting the right people know, having the right conversations, plan it properly, and also, you know, to move forward and to be productive moving forward. We got a lot of work to do. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
KellyCrandallRacer.com. For Rick, Dale mentioned how the toughest part was that meeting with you and not wanting to disappoint you. What was it like when he finally came to you and said for sure this is it? What was that meeting like for you?
Well, you know, I normally when there was we just extended, I get a call from Kelly saying get the paperwork ready. So when he said he wanted to talk to me, I kind of had this inkling that it might be pretty serious. And but I felt like a member of my family came and sat down with me and said, you know, this is what I've decided to do. And immediately, you know, I'm disappointed. I mean, I'd love to have him drive for as long as I own a race team. But as the conversation went on, and I mean, I felt like, you know, we're going to do things together, and this was going to come at some point. I mean, everybody gets to a point in their career that they retire, and, you know, and I think we immediately, we spent a lot of time talking about how much we've done together, cared about each other, and then immediately went to the next chapter. But it was a tough conversation, very emotional conversation, not tough, but just because of our relationship and how we care about each other. And and he knows, and it's just a lot of people involved. And but I feel like, you know, when we came out of that deal, you know, we were excited about what's next. So I've been trying to focus on what's next. And but it's definitely I'd say on one hand it was tough, but on the other hand it was a great feeling, and that you can share with people that you don't really have many of those opportunities in life.
Time for two more. We'll go here, and then Mike.
Zach Attan's ready, Funchtech. You have quite the farewell tour coming your way for the rest of the season. Jeff Gwynn was a fan of it. Tony Stewart, maybe not so much. Is that something you're going to embrace for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I really don't know what to expect, to be honest with you. I mean, it might not even do me much good to ask them to, because of, like you say, they both had kind of different opinions about it, possibly. But I've been treated so well by by the industry and by the fans everywhere we go. And, you know, it's business as usual for me at the racetrack. I want to go in there and race, do well. But I'm sure it'll be quite a bit different. So we'll just take it as it comes. And, you know, we only have to go to Texas once instead of twice. So I know Eddie won't have too many opportunities to pull any crazy stuff on me, but he's the only one I'm probably worried about, to be honest with you.
Okay. Wrap it up back here, Mike.
Dale, Mike Solarte, Spectrum News. You've talked about your family support and the folks that were okay with the decision. Your uncle was a little disappointed, and you dealt with some hypotheticals. One last one for you. What would your father say to you today?
You know, I'll always let other people tell me what they think Dad would think in a certain situation. I never would assume that he was proud of me when he was alive. Certainly wouldn't make that mistake after he passed. I just never felt like I was worthy of assuming that of him. And I always was open to hearing from people that know him really well what they think he would think. And I've talked to some people in the past 24 hours that know him pretty well. And they're pretty confident that he would be very proud. You know, I think that there are a lot of things that I've done over the last several years, he'd be super surprised. He probably somewhere's already surprised, you know. So I think he wouldn't tell me to my face, but he would probably tell Rick or anyone else that would listen here today that he was very proud of me. and then I'd have to go hear it from Rick.
I knew your daddy pretty well. I knew him real well, and he would be proud of the man that you are and what you've done for so many and all the charities and all the goodwill that you've done. He would be very, very, and is very, very proud of you.
Rick, I was going to give you a chance for last comments, but I think that's probably a great one for you to end on. Dale Jr., closing thoughts.
Yeah, I want to thank all the media for coming at such a short notice. Things kind of got scrambled on our timing due to the weather yesterday in Bristol, so it was short notice for you guys, and I appreciate that. Our relationship's always been really important to me, and I think that I got a great relationship with a lot of you guys and look forward to seeing y'all throughout the rest of the season, and hopefully I'll be in that media center for some podiums and possibly a few victories before the season's over with. So thank you very much for coming out today.
Well, Dale, you said that you wanted people to know that you were here. Take my word for it. They knew you were here and throughout NASCAR Nation. Thank you on behalf of all of us. Thank you on behalf of Dale Earnhardt Jr., Hendrick Motorsports, for joining us today, and have a great afternoon.